You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Connor McDavid cuts it over the line through the middle. Connor McDavid, what a goal! And this game is tied at one.
Another absolute beauty from your captain 28 seconds after Winnipeg took the lead. McDavid tied it last night against the Jets. He also scored in the shootout as the Oilers won. A great game, 2-1 over Winnipeg to bump the record up to 12-4. Tomorrow against Chicago, 6:30 for the faceoff show. Game at 8 here on 6:30, Ched. This will have Duncan Keith going up against his former team, of course. And Duncan Keith, he and Cody Ceci got the assists on the McDavid goal last night. And Keith was asked today to assess his assist on the McDavid marker.
Well, I mean, timing is everything too, right? Don't take too much credit away from that regroup. I thought we gave him some speed in the neutral zone, so he had some room to skate.
All right, Ducky and Keith having a little bit of fun there. Well, hey, they did have to regroup. Keith was back in his own zone across to Ceci, who gave it to McDavid, and then number 97 did the rest. Bob Stauffer hopping on the show here. Back-to-back home games, Bob. McDavid comes through with spectacular goals, both to tie the games relatively late in the third period, and I think Duncan Keith having a little bit of fun there at his involvement in the play, and I'm sure he was as wowed as everybody else.
Well, we're watching the most advanced player in the world, Reed. It's that simple. Like, we're watching a guy play at a level. So I'm in my mid-50s. You know, I'm not one of those guys that, you know, has somebody say, oh, the best radio show host of all time, or, you know, animated discussion with, like, I always try to be, you know, like you. Like, you make fun of yourself. You talk about being, like, on your Twitter account, you know, Mr. Blockbuster and an expert chip evaluator. And I say this because sometimes there's a degree of subtlety, and I don't like being too over the top, but the reality is we are watching the most spectacularly gifted player that's come in the league in the last three decades. The guy's off the charts. You know, he's must-see, the proverbial must-watch TV, and we're not watching it. We're broadcasting. It's even better than that, Reed. We're lucky. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the last two home games and the sense of timing and when he did it, it's, you know, it's a privilege to call it. And, you know, if you love the game, and I know you love the game, I love the game. You can feel the enthusiasm in Jack's calls and Cam's call on the radio last night. We're just kind of lucky, and we'll see where it goes here with this team. But because they've got not just Connor, but also Leon, you know, two spectacular players, on any given night, anything can happen.
Well, yeah, McDavid's the best player off the rush that I've ever seen. And I know there have been other great guys, and Lemieux could skate through. Well, actually, no, Lemieux could skate through opponents, but more literally through them, maybe over. I mean, McDavid could weave through them. Mario could just kind of be like, I'm just going to go in a straight line and you're going to bounce off me. But McDavid's blazing speed is an additional element that I think a lot of the other great one-on-one players haven't even had. And like you referenced, by the way, he's the second leading scorer on the team. Draisaitl still leads the way with 33 points, and McDavid has 30. Look, that was the good stuff. A little bit of a downer this morning with the Oilers injury news. They put a couple of defensemen on IR. Slater Cuckoo has been in and out of the lineup, but he gives you what he has. But more significantly, the 26-minute-per-game man, Darnell Nurse, is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Bob, it's probably 6 to 10 games. This is going to be dicey for Edmonton. I remember a few years ago they had that great, I think they were 9-3-2 under Hitch, or 9-2-2. And then Klefbom and Russell went out. Now, I think the team is deeper than that team was in a lot of different areas. But that's going to be hard to slice up Nurse's minutes.
Well, the other thing that happened that year is they hadn't built up a 12-4 start. If you recall, they actually got off. They were a weird team of swings that year. Like, they started 0-2-2, and then they went like 8-2-2 under Todd, and then they ended up dropping a, you know, some games. They went net lost in Washington, lost in Tampa, came back, lost to Colorado, beat Montreal soundly, and then dropped back-to-back games. So they dropped like 6 out of 7 or something. And then Hitch came in, and yeah, they got off to a 9-3-2 start under Hitch. And one night in college, it wasn't just, I'll never forget it, like Klefbom and Russell get hurt, and then Matt Benning gets sucked into a fight, and they're down to 3 defensemen for half the game in Colorado just to look. And they built up a 4-0 lead that night and scored some great goals, but you knew they were in trouble, and they had to go get guys like, Weidman. That's when, around the time that, because they went totally in the skids in the end of the December. I'm with you. We're deeper. I'm going to be really intrigued to see what Bouchard, or, you know, how can, you know, does Bouchard play more minutes here? Tyson Berry wants to be a leader on this team. There's an opportunity for him. They're set on the right side between Barry Bouchard and CeCe at this time. They might have to play one of those guys over the left side once in a while. But Broberg's obviously going to get an opportunity here. I'm going to almost guarantee you he's in. I didn't hear Dave Tippett's availability today, Reed. Did he say what the plan was for Broberg and for Lagesson tomorrow?
No, he did not say who's going to play tomorrow. Just obviously that they're both going to be needed. He referenced, you know what, Kellen? Let's play it for Bob, because I played it about half an hour ago. We got the tip on Broberg clip that's about 28 seconds. Here's exactly what Dave Tippett said about Broberg. You got it, Kellen? Okay. Well, anyway, we'll get that. We're having an issue with it. But he said that he's doing better now than he was in training camp, and that he just has to get used to that North American tempo of the game, that the guys are on you a step or two faster when you're back in your own corner trying to get the puck going.
Well, I mean, I obviously have my sources in Bakersfield. I talk to those guys all the time. Broberg's been their best defenseman. They've played him all the time. He's got an excellent defensive coach there, Dave Manson, that's proven that he can develop players. I expect Broberg in the line. I don't know if Lagesson's going to play. I expect Broberg to play tomorrow. To me, it's Keith Broberg and Chris Russell on the left side, and Lagesson's the number 7 defenseman out of necessity. So I'd be real surprised if Broberg, you know, Logan Stanley's playing 14 minutes a game, Reed, for Winnipeg. They're bringing him on a little bit slowly, and I fully expect to see Broberg play anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes a game here.
Well, I think more responsibility is going to fall on Duncan Keith, who's been playing about 20 minutes a night. When he came here, I was hoping it might be more along the lines of 17 and 18 minutes. To me, Keith has been pretty up and down, Bob. I think he's had some solid nights. I do think he's had some struggles with turnovers. I mean, the pass in Buffalo obviously was well publicized because it led to a goal. I thought even last night some times where passes kind of went to nobody, or he made some hopeful rims that were cut off by Jets players. Tippett's referenced that he's still finding his way a bit. Keith talked today and said, hey, yeah, I'm finding my way a bit to your good group. I've had some good games. I've had some bad games. Still trying to figure some things out. Look, he's a Hall of Fame defenseman, but the Oilers aren't getting the guy who is playing at the level that is going to put him into the Hall of Fame. So I'm curious, too, how much more responsibility Keith gets and how he handles it.
Well, that's why I'm wondering whether or not we're going to see a couple right-shot pairings once in a while. To me, CeCe's been very good, surprisingly competitive in 1v1 battles in the defensive zone. I think he's done a pretty good job there. I think he's been the better of the two between Keith and CeCe. And I just think they have to contemplate their experiences on the right side here when Broberg comes in. And I think they have to occasionally look at having two right shot D on the ice at the same time. So And did he quantify anything on the goaltending? Again, Dave did his availability during the course of my show today, and I was running around all afternoon, so I didn't. Did he tease at all in terms of coming back with Skinner?
There was nothing on the goaltending today.
Because I know we're gonna get Lanigan for Chicago tomorrow. I know that's been confirmed, and not Marc-Andre Fleury, which of course would have been a pretty interesting thing for a lot of Oilers fans out there who are wondering whether or not Fleury, a pending UFA, might be available at the deadline. So, if I'm the Oilers, I do come back with Stuart Skinner, and I start Mikko Koskinen no matter what in Dallas, because Mikko Koskinen has stoned the Dallas Stars in Dallas. He's played some guys just have good starts in some buildings. Maybe it's the lighting. I don't know what it is, but Mikko's had some terrific performances in that building. I'd like to see him get the call there. So I play Broberg, and I start Skinner tomorrow night, Reed, and I put Perlini in for Tyler Benson as well.
Well, yeah, a couple of tough penalties on Benson. He did get a shift after that. He got one shift in the third period. I would put Skinner in as well, because I think that's part of the – I mean, they want to see him continue to act like an NHLer, you know, act like a guy that can play at the highest level, not just in terms of his actual goaltending ability, but his demeanor and all those other little things that people talk about. You got to be a pro, and I think that's part of being a pro. You did it one night. Okay, great. Go out there and do it again, or at least give us another good start. Don't rest because you got one good one. Now, I'm not suggesting that's Skinner's personality. Obviously, he wants to do it again, but I would definitely give him another shot. And then with Mikko, as we've seen, you know, maybe a little extra time between the next start usually helps him as we go through the season.
Well, they're going to have to split him, right? So start Koskinen in Dallas and then come back with Skinner against Arizona. You know, and then maybe Mikko got a victory out-duel Robin Lehner in Vegas. And so the second time they go into Vegas this year, maybe get the same matchup as well. Reed, you brought up a good point. We're gonna find out. Look, every team in the league's got injuries. Nurse is a big injury for Edmonton. You can make an argument if you have one of McDavid or Draisaitl, that's different than not having Nurse. You know what I mean? Like, you lose Nurse, and it changes the complexion of your defense. We're going to find some things out about the Edmonton Oilers over the next 10 games.
All right, Bob, are you going to watch anything this evening, dare I ask?
I am. I am pulling into Claire Drake Arena as we speak, yes.
UBC is 6-0. I didn't even realize that until I checked the standings the other night, because I had Kurt on the show.
Yeah, they've did you have him on today or the other night? I think you had him on the other night, didn't you?
Kurt was on Wednesday, yep.
Yeah. Glad you know how to pronounce his name. I think I mispronounced it 5 times in one interview. That happens once in a while. You know what? They've had an easier schedule. Like, they played Trinity Western in a couple of those games, and Trinity Western's a new team. Trinity Western and Grant McEwen. I think they played Grant McEwen, too. So UBC is the team that vanquished Alberta's dreams at the end of the 2019-20 season?
Yep. Ryland Toth, the goalie. He's still there.
Former Red Deer Rebel and brought into Seattle to be their goalie with Ethan Bear when they won the WHL championship, and he got hurt that year. Guy's a good goaltender. We'll see. Alberta, in my opinion, Reed, with all due respect to Ian Herbers and Stan Marple, they're down about 4 forwards from what they thought they were going to have at the start of the year, and all those guys had size. They're a small, skilled team, and some nights they get boxed out. To me, this is a B Alberta team, not an A team like he had in 13-14 and 14-15. So I'll be intrigued to see how they do here as the season goes on.
Bob, enjoy it. I'll see you at Rogers Place tomorrow, buddy.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.